Hello, and welcome to the Lessons Unlocked podcast. I'm your host, Colleen McCracken. I've been looking for ways to increase music education accessibility, and I think that this podcast can make a difference. The Lessons Unlocked podcast uses a virtual platform to engage with student musicians through masterclass-style instruction. Students may submit recordings of their playing for in-depth feedback to be shared with all listeners. This way, the students who submit can get feedback, and any other student with access to the podcast can learn from the masterclass. There's also a Q&A section to the podcast, so please submit any questions that come up for you. The name to know this week is Claire Chase. Claire Chase is a groundbreaking flutist, educator, and arts advocate whose career is redefining what it means to be a 21st century classical musician. She's a MacArthur Fellow, Avery Fisher Prize winner, and founder of the International Contemporary Ensemble, a collective that champions new music and interdisciplinary collaboration. What sets Claire apart is her bold commitment to innovation. She has commissioned over 100 new works for the flute, including solo, chamber, electroacoustic, and staged works, many of which push the boundaries of what the instrument can do. She's currently in the middle of a 23-year performance project called Density 2036, where she premieres new works for flute every year through 2036, the centennial of Edgar Varèse's Density 21.5. Claire is a passionate educator. She's a professor of the practice of music at Harvard University and works to empower young artists to develop creative, entrepreneurial approaches to their careers. If you want to hear something truly stunning, check out her recording of Density 21.5, followed by one of the more experimental works from her Density 2036 project. You'll hear the full expressive and technical range of the modern flute like never before. This week's piece of the week is Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach's Hamburger Sonata in G major. Often overshadowed by his father, Johann Sebastian Bach, CPE Bach was a trailblazer in his own right. This sonata, composed in 1786 for flute and basso continuo, captures the elegance and charm of the Empfindsamer Stil, a German term meaning sensitive style, that defined much of CPE Bach's work. Why should this piece be on your radar? Because it's an incredible example of clarity, nuance, and expressive phrasing. It's also a fantastic piece for developing articulation and contrast between phrases. Now, this piece was not named for the food hamburger, but for the city in which it was written, Hamburg, Germany. Flutists, this is a must-learn piece in your repertoire, and even if you're not a flutist, it's worth a listen for its elegant melodic writing and expressive phrasing. This week's organization highlight is the Flute Center of New York. The Flute Center of New York isn't just a flute shop, it's a vibrant hub for the global flute community. Located in Manhattan, the Flute Center of New York is the largest flute specialty store in North America, offering a vast selection of instruments, sheet music, accessories, and repairs. But what truly makes the Flute Center of New York stand out is its commitment to accessibility, education, and connection. They regularly host live-streamed masterclasses, artist interviews, and recitals featuring world-renowned flutists. These events are free to watch online, making high-quality flute education more accessible than ever, no matter where you live. One of their most popular initiatives is the Flute Center of New York Club, which offers exclusive perks to students and educators, such as discounts, extended trial periods for flutes shipped to your home, and access to special events. They even provide virtual repair consultations, so help is available no matter location. I love how the Flute Center of New York blends top-tier artistry with genuine community support. If you're a flutist or curious about becoming one, check them out at flutecenter.com or follow them on Instagram at flutecenter. Our performer this week is Aaron from Massachusetts performing Doppler's Fantasy Pastorale Hongroise. Aaron, take it away.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Aaron, and thank you so much for sending this in. This is an excellent performance. I hope you feel very proud. For our listeners, what's going to happen next is we're going to go through the piece along with the recording and give some comments while we listen through one more time. Lovely opening. I think we could be a little bit softer here. I fully respect the decision to not be super soft at the beginning. So it sets you up for more contrast when it becomes pianissimo in the last couple bars of that section we just heard. But I didn't hear the pianissimo a whole lot. So I would aim for a little bit softer there. And I know that sometimes on different recording equipment, it can equalize it. So if the live audience says that the dynamics were incredible, believe them over me. The next thing I'm noticing is some intonation difference between you and the piano, and at some points between different notes that you're playing. Especially since we're starting on an A at this Allegro section, you really want to be sure that that's in tune because that's our tuning note, right? So I think that part of the issue, first of all, is probably nerves. So don't beat yourself up too much about this. But I think part of the issue is also air support. I think we may simply not be blowing enough air. And there are a few ways to work on that. One of which is to simply practice the feeling of pressurized air, right? So how we do that is by closing our mouth and trying to exhale with our mouth closed. I don't know why I tried to demonstrate that. This is a podcast. That feeling, it should engage some abdominal muscles. And those are the muscles that you want to be playing, that you want to be engaged while you're playing the flute. So I think engaging those a little bit more and blowing a little bit more air might help us out with our intonation. There are also some great intonation exercises. I love to just improvise over a drone. I think that's one of the more fun ways to practice intonation. So if you have the app Tonal Energy or any other kind of drone app, you could put it on like a G major chord and then improvise over it and just kind of play around. And that's a really good way to practice intonation without driving yourself crazy staring at the tuner. Another way that I think is a little bit more fun is to put on a pop song that you like and try to figure out the notes and play along with it without reading like a chord chart or the sheet music or anything like that, because it really helps with ear training. And it's kind of a more passive way to work on intonation. Again, I like to work on intonation slightly more passively than just staring at the tuner and playing notes and repeating that process, because I get so frustrated very easily with intonation. So those are my recommendations. Really great work on this section. It's hard to get all of those trills, mordents, and grace notes to sound good while playing in time. I am noticing that we're losing the tone quality and dynamic level in those descending 16ths and the di-da-da-da-di-da-da-da-di-da-da-da-da-di-da-da-da-di-da-di-da in that phrase. And I think what we need to do is think about crescendoing as we're going down, since the composer hasn't marked a decrescendo there. And I think that the line is actually leading to that high F, so we should crescendo all the way through. But as we're doing measure by measure, those descending 16ths, I think we need to be thinking about crescendoing throughout that measure. Again, really lovely work on this. This is a very challenging piece, so it's impressive that you're playing this. Congratulations. I hope our audience knows that this is a really tough piece. And if they do, they will be cheering for you in their cars, at home, wherever they're listening. I do want to talk a little bit about vibrato. I think that on that high F with the fermata, we could use a little bit more vibrato, kind of an operatic style, very diva, very, look at me, I'm playing a high note and I sound really good. Even though it's part of a decrescendo, anytime we're in the high register, we really want a more vibrant, kind of bouncy vibrato. Now, if you haven't talked about vibrato before, there are a few different ways to practice it. And my favorite is to do air pulses rhythmically. So I'll put the metronome on maybe 75 and I'll put it in like 4/4 and I'll practice air pulses on the quarter note and then on the eighth note and then on the triplet and then on the 16th. It helps you develop your vibrato in a good way that's not going to add further tension in your body. That was so lovely. No comments. Excellent work on that. That descending right before the fermata rest. That was gorgeous. I'm noticing some cracking, and for me, that happens when I am putting too much tension in my embouchure and not enough support from my abdominal muscles. So I would try that and see if it helps. It can also just be a sign of nerves. So if that advice doesn't help fix the cracking problem and you're only cracking during performances like this, then chalk it up to nerves and don't get too hard on yourself about it. Thank you. Way to go, especially on that final note. It's hard to get that to be a nice, juicy low D following so many high notes. So congratulations on that. And congratulations on this performance. Thank you so much for sending this in. Our listeners have so much to learn from your playing. Thank you so much. Everyone, wherever you are, please give Aaron from Massachusetts a big round of applause. All right, up next, we have our Q&A section of the podcast. We have a few questions. Most of these are coming from TikTok. So if you aren't following us on TikTok, go ahead and do that. And there's a video asking for questions for the Q&A. And if you have any questions, you can submit them there or you can submit them through our website. So this first question is, what's the best way to structure a practice session if I only have 30 minutes? That's a good question. And honestly, a lot of musicians are in the same boat. When you're limited on time, structure is everything. Here's a simple balanced 30-minute plan that can help you make some progress. So for the first 5 minutes, warm up. Don't skip it. Use that time to focus on breathing, long tones, slow scales, anything that eases you into playing and gets your tone in shape for the day. The next 10 minutes I would spend on techniques. So that could be scales, arpeggios, articulation exercises. Choose just a couple things to target and keep it focused. It's really important to do quality over quantity for technique. For the next 10 minutes, I would do repertoire, work on your current solo piece. Don't try to run the whole thing. Zero in on one section, identify the problem spots and isolate those and work through them. And for the last 5 minutes, I would write down what went well in that practice session and goals for the next one. I think it's important to spend part of your practice session planning for the next one. Our next question is, are there books that specifically tackle the fourth octave? Yes. The first one I'm going to recommend is called Studies for Facilitating the Execution of the Upper Notes of the Flute by Daniel S. Wood. This one is available on IMSLP. It doesn't have a whole lot of instruction, but it has tons and tons of exercises that address the higher register. Another really good one is Top Register Studies for Flute 90 Melodious Studies. This one I don't think is available on IMSLP, but it runs for about $16 on Amazon or several different flute company websites or music stores. So yes, there are, and those are two that I would recommend. Our next question is how to play long phrases in one breath. This is one that takes a lot of time to develop. There are a few different methods. You can do a bunch of jumping jacks and then play. You can play while walking on a walking pad or a treadmill. Be careful, put your health first, safety first, always. What those exercises do is it's slowly building up your ability to hold notes for a longer time. Unfortunately, there's no like quick trick to do that. You really have to kind of get your heart rate up and get out of breath and then try to play the phrase. And then over time, your body will think it's really easy to play the phrase when you aren't out of breath. I hope that makes sense. Thank you all so much for tuning in to this episode of the Lessons Unlocked podcast. A huge thanks to our performer of the day, Aaron from Massachusetts, and to all of you for continuing to listen, learn, and grow with this community. As you head out into your week, I encourage you to listen to CPE Bach's Hamburger Sonata in G major for flute and continuo. And of course, thank you to all the music educators who are working hard to make music accessible and meaningful for their students. I'll be back next week with more. Until then, happy practicing and bye for now.